Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Avery Zaretsky and Cody Frankel. We got a great interview on this episode with Sean McDonough from ESPN, who is the lead play-by-play broadcaster doing the entire Eastern Conference Final. Avery and I spoke to him for over an hour. Cody couldn't make it, and we talked shit about Cody while he wasn't on it. So you can look forward to that. Cody's face, obviously, is not very happy right now. Cody, what's going on?
He's got his nice little corporate vest on.
Yeah, what's going on, dude? You just hop off of Microsoft Teams?
Bro, I don't even want to talk about today, bro.
Someone made a hilarious comment on the YouTube. It was like, because Cody and I were just winking at each other randomly, and I just tried to do it, and you weren't paying attention. But I saw you doing that,
but I didn't know what was happening.
It was a bad attempt. It was funny though. You were like talking, and Cody and I were just randomly winking at each other. And the YouTube
bro, John goes on a rant for like 18 minutes, and he's like, "I need to vent right now.
I'm passionate."
Oh man, but yeah, Sean McDonough was amazing. I literally cannot wait for you guys to hear it. He has some great stuff in there, and him and I are basically friends now. We're gonna play golf together. Yeah. I can't wait.
All right, let's get into fan questions. But before we do, I just want to talk about.
We're not even going to talk about the Panthers or anything. Just going to go right into it.
Yeah. But before we do, I just want to talk about, yo, I'm fooling you both. You think I'm about to talk about Bet Online, but I'm not. I'm actually about to talk about Avery. So I just want to talk about the Morgan Wallen concert for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's hear that. Okay.
Oh, you're going to do it. Dude, you are the worst. The worst.
Dude, that was pretty good.
You got me.
That was a pretty good one. So Avery was at the Morgan Wallen concert. Literally, I was touching his head the whole concert.
Yeah.
And I was probably the best wingman he's ever had in his life.
It was so good to see Cody, man. And you got a great.
Don't
you got
skip
a
nice over the wingman hat. Comment. Share with the class.
No, listen. Cody did a great job,
dude. As I walked out, I whispered in her ear, and I go, "Guy's a fucking 12 out of 10."
That's all you said.
That's all I said, and then left the concert.
Cody's a good man.
Is it a date, Avery?
It's date, dude.
Whatever you want to refer to.
We've been talking about the Morgan Wallen concert for like 2 months, and you haven't mentioned once that it was made.
It was a great time, though. I gotta say, performance-wise, Morgan Wallen is incredible. Yeah. His music's incredible, and I had a great time. Cody got a sick hat at the concert, but it wasn't a melon. I wish Melon did Morgan Wallen collab because I'd buy a million, but they have a collab with us. If you go to melon.com/bluecrew and use the code bluecrew at checkout, you get 30% off of all 30. Their products. They really don't do this often, so go make sure you go get your melon hats. They're structured amazing, they're sweat proof, and I love melon. It's really the only hat that I'll ever wear is melon. So go get yours today, melon.com/bluecrew, 30% off. Go now, it's running out soon. Go now.
Cody, can you stop breathing so heavily into the mic?
I'm literally not breathing. I'm actually holding my breath, as a matter of fact.
The concert was good, boys. You had fun?
Yeah. I wish the weather was a little bit better, but it's so funny how much longer the bathroom lines are at country concerts because of how much drinking and tailgating there is. It's absolutely ridiculous. I had to go during a song because it just wasn't feasible to go before the concert.
It was insane. It was the most busy I've ever seen that venue in my life. And I still have half a lost voice from it.
Yeah.
Saturday was the weather was interesting. It was like nice out, but like drizzly.
Like I got a real reminder of how the Northeast weather is because it's like you almost have to have a bad
start up for like 5 months.
but in Florida,
exactly, you've been there for 3 years.
Well, in Florida, time's like a flat circle, right? It's like the weather, it just stays the same almost every single day. So here, it almost feels like you have to have a bad day to have a good day. So it was like completely overcast. And then yesterday, it was so nice out.
It's going to be 77 and sunny this entire week.
Avery's like the kid who studied abroad. Just like, forgot what it was like. Yeah.
I mean, starts coming back
and talking in French and won't speak English. It was 2 months.
But you do forget how time works in Florida because every day feels the same.
What about when there's a tropical storm?
All right, dude,
we're not in storm season yet, so relax, man.
All right, let's get into fan questions.
Yeah, are you doing the ref stuff in this series, by the way?
No, hell no. Okay. I already told him no chance, man. That ain't that. No way. It's going to be weird, though, because some people are going to – I'm going to walk into the arena and people are going to be like, I thought you're the ref. Like, they actually know us as the ref.
Oh, really?
That's weird. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the Rangers, Florida Panthers, Eastern Conference Final. We're not going to preview it right now. We assume that we're going to get fan questions that ask us to preview it. So let's get into the fan questions brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Rangers fans, if you own a business or work at a company that accepts credit cards as a form of payment, then listen up. Breakaway Payments has payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. So email fellow Rangers fan Brett at brett@breakawaypayments.com or visit their website www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. I am mumbling, but Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. So let me take a second here to pull up our fan questions. And thank you guys for submitting them. As always, we will start with this one from gross_ink_tattoo. Do the Rangers have enough grit to not get bullied? What are the tests that you're making? That's actually a good question, too.
Yeah, it is a good question. No, they listen, this team has grit. I don't think anybody would argue that. Would you say that, like, to not get bullied though, like, would you say the Panthers are tough guys in the NHL? Like, I don't think they're tough.
Yes.
You think
are.
So?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Tell me you don't watch Puck without telling me you don't watch Puck.
I mean, Cousins, Bennett, I mean, Kachuk, they're
Bennett.
All.
Yeah, they got Bennett. He's a little fucker though. I don't know.
He's tough.
Isn't that the definition of
tough? Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
No, they're probably a top three tough team in the NHL. So, yeah.
At least they're good at – I mean, they're also good at not, like, faking it, but they stir shit up after the whistles, you know?
Without a
they
doubt.
They love the after-the-whistle scrums. Like, that's a big Florida Panther.
Yeah, and I think the Rangers have handled that well this year, though, so I'm not too overly concerned with that. I think that the Rangers, when they work at their hardest, they're able to force teams to take penalties. So I think that it could pay dividends for the Rangers that they that the Panthers are a very aggressive, bullyish type team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're just going to need Trouba to actually be a bully is what we're going to need.
Which he probably will. And Rempe wasn't in the lineup today for practice, but I'm curious to see if he's thrown in for game one. Because this is kind of what we've talked about all year, right? Like, this is the series where you kind of throw – this is the one where you throw Rempe in, right? Like, yeah. It seems like a Matt Rempe kind of series.
Yeah. But at the expense of Blake Wheeler, no chance.
What?
If Blake Wheeler's a go.
Wheeler's not in, though. He's not in.
Confirmed?
Well, right as of today, it was similar to game – it was the same lineup as game three against Carolina. The top six was the same. Then you had Hedl, Wennberg, Kako, and Cooley, Gaudreau, Vizi.
Oh, Hedl was in.
Hedl practiced today.
I still think you see Rempe or Brodzinski before you see Wheeler. I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
My brother and I we went on a walk today, and we were just talking about like where he would fit, and to be honest, the only place I could see Wheeler coming in is if like after two games they're like Kako isn't doing anything, and we need more scoring.
But yeah. I do think they'd put Wheeler with Sabanjad and Kreider and move Roslovic down.
Yes, 100%. But I think that would be the only guy that would come out for Wheeler.
Kako.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How do you feel about that?
Me? I mean, listen, I think that you look at analytics and you see that the third line's been the best line in the NHL in terms of.
I'm dead, dude.
What?
Yo, Johnny, I need you to clip that. And I know what? Avery had a bunch to say after NHL, but you got to cut it off at NHL.
Yeah, you took a bad pause at NHL.
Bad pause. I know what you were about to say. You were about to say in goal, you know.
An expected goal. They're number one, right?
And I know that screenshot's old. That's not even updated.
Someone posted
that was after, dude. That was after game one of the first series.
Yeah, because I looked for that today, and they were like 13th.
Avery sent it up. Dude, that's gonna be the best clip. We all gotta retweet that too.
All right. Well, there's my moment of the podcast. But anyways, we know that they've been good defensively, right? And they, and Cody's been complaining that they haven't been producing offensively. I think there have been people who've been saying that. But if it comes down to a point where they need to produce offensively, see now, see this podcast is going to become a problem. Because I had my laugh just like about a minute ago. And now I know how you felt, Johnny.
Yep.
And now we got to stop. It's got to stop.
Okay. Fair enough. Yep.
But I
and you did this and you did this to me at the beginning of the pod.
Yeah, and I just did it to myself. All right, well, let's rally back here. But yeah, I don't know.
No, listen, it's a tough call, right? It's a tough call. Is I think what it comes down to, and it's a matter of like the team's jiving right now, right? So it's like
jiving.
Yeah, jiving. Oh, never God, Johnny, look it up, dude. Oh, my God. You, tell me you're dumb without telling me you're dumb. Okay.
I'm going to look it up right now.
So the team, it's, oh, man. Okay. So anyways.
Okay. That makes sense. Nice. Good word.
So the team's jiving right now. And, like, you know, I think to take out Rempe or Brodzie, like, it's tough to put in a Wheeler-type guy if he's ready to go, right? But it's like, you need that offense and you're looking for a guy with a ton of playoff experience who can score goals. Like Wheeler's your guy. So it's going to be a tricky situation. I mean, his comments were kind of crazy saying like, I'm ready to go in any capacity. So like, if he's saying that, I don't see why you don't play him personally, but.
Well, he was in the lineup today. Yeah. So I guess they will. All right. Next one from Krabby Melly 64. That's a new one for sure. In our questions. What is the biggest challenge against Florida than what the Rangers face with the Canes? I'm going to say it's similar teams and similar styles, but better goaltending and more elite talent. Bobrovsky is better than Frederick Anderson and better than Peter Kachekov. And I will take any day, Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov, Verhaeghe, and Tarasenko even, you know, all these guys that Florida has up front.
Reinhardt,
yeah, I didn't think about Reinhardt. Evan Rodriguez on their third line is still a really good player too. Sam Bennett, like dude, these guys put four goals. And Brandon Montour too has become one of the best goal scoring defensemen in the game.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, if you think about it, they're very similarly structured to us.
That's why I said, yeah, it's kind of like the same thing, but you're just taking their talent. They're more talented.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, no. Like, if you look at them, right, Reinhardt had 94 points, Tkachuk had 88, Barkov 80, Verhaeghe 72, and then Tarasenko 55. And if you look at us, what'd Brett have, like 116?
No, I'm saying more talented than the Canes, not than us.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I agree. They're way more top-heavy. Like, the Canes had more depth where, like, their third liners, right, were scoring goals against us. Yeah. Like, you saw what they did in game six. They were the game. But the Panthers are a little bit different, but then they have the pest, right? They have Rodriguez. We know that guy can score in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a very good team that we can't take lightly. I think Anton Lundell, like, didn't he just have the game winner or something like that? Like
he scored a big goal. I think
it was the game winner or the
Boston
game
one.
No, I think I'm pretty sure it was either the game winner or the first goal to tie it up.
Oh, in game six?
Yeah. I think so.
The game winner was Forsling. I don't remember who scored the tying goal. It might have been Lundell. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but regardless, right? So they have a lot of players that are good players, and you know they're deep, but they're very like they're very similarly structured to us. It's kind of crazy because if you look at our team, I think there's five or six guys that are like 50 points and then above, and then it automatically falls down to like 31 or something like that. And they're similarly structured, so it's gonna be a dogfight. It's gonna be a dog fight.
We're talking about a team that was in the Stanley Cup final last year.
It's gonna be a dog fight.
And that hasn't really changed much. So
yeah,
it's gonna be tough.
Do it again. Dog fight. All right, I'm so giddy right now. All right, next one. This is from Jason from 1989. Better financial decision: catch a game at MSG or head down to Sunrise? For fucking sure, head down to Sunrise.
Maybe not.
Why?
Because the Sunrise tickets were only like $100 cheaper than MSG, and you have to fly, which costs more than $100. To catch your flight there, it's probably like 300, 400 round trip.
But if you go just like Monday to Wednesday, You fly Monday or even just Saturday to Monday? Saturday
it's going to be more expensive to fly to Florida, honestly. The tickets have been really expensive.
My round trip from Saturday to Wednesday was $270.
But that's because Raleigh's population is like 11 people. So it was
I'm saying Florida.
All right, here's my take on it because I've been to a lot of Panthers games and I live in Florida and this and that. I would go to MSG. The viewing experience is better. It's obviously going to feel better to be at home.
But we need more Ranger fans in Florida.
So Donnie, you hear that? Avery lives in Florida.
I know. I'm just saying, like, to even just to get even just to get in the door, it's like $400 in Florida, and it's really high up. The stadium is much bigger. It's taller, so the seats are a lot higher and farther back. And we actually talked to Sean McDonough about it, how high the press booth is, and like the seats that are up in the back are pretty damn close to it. So you're gonna have a better viewing experience at MSG, better experience overall, especially because it's home ice, and you get the Bob O'Reilly factor. So go to the Garden.
All right.
Well, Johnny's actually going to go to both the Garden and Florida, so he'll be able to have that experience. So maybe Avery, me and you should make a bet on which one's better. And speaking of bets, I want to talk about one of our sponsors. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports. MLB, NHL, NBA, and golf. We know Avery loves to golf in that beautiful Florida weather. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to get in on that action. And as Avery knows, BetOnline is always where the game starts. Back to the show.
All right. Good job, Cody. That was great. Johnny, also, do you need to stay at my place? Or do you have
to me? Say?
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I have family and stuff down there, but there I appreciate that. Very kind. Thank you. But I'll
stay at Hunter's Run.
I could have asked that offline. I was just curious.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate that. all right. Next one. This is actually really funny. Yo, fuck Cody, honestly.
It's a question.
Okay. Fuck you too, Herb.
It was me.
Okay. So stupid.
All right. Sorry. I just wanted to break that up a little bit. All right, next one from Brandman7694. Who do you think needs to step up this series if we want to win? I say Miller.
Step up. I feel like Miller's stepped up. I feel like he's been great.
Maybe not offensively.
In terms of stepping up, I think I said this to you last week. Easy, like no-brainer to me. It's Wennberg. Like I think Wennberg is a guy who you're going to look at to try and lock down guys like Reinhart and Barkov and, you know, all their top Kachuk, like all their top guys defensively. As we saw in game six, there were a shit ton of odd man rushes. And that is something, you know, you want to limit. I think somebody like Alex Wennberg is meant to do that. But on top of all of that, I would love to see a little bit of offense from him, right? He really hasn't shot the puck much. He's been very conservative. I think he only has like one assist to date. And he does have offensive prowess. So he'd be my guy.
I like that. Dave?
Yeah, I would say on the back end, I would go Trouba. He didn't have the greatest series against Carolina, but I think that he can be really effective for the Rangers in this series. We talked about how it needs to be a more grittier game. They're going to be tough. They're going to be hard on pucks, and he just got to be the guy he needs to be. And also Kako. I agree with what Cody said on last podcast. I think that he does have offensive ability that he can tap into. And I think that if there's any time to do it, it's right now.
Hell yeah.
I don't know who my answer is going to be. I don't want to say like needs to step up because he's been good. But, and this is probably pretty basic, but I feel like Panarin. This is one where, you know, this is a really physical team and I just hope he doesn't shy away from it. So it's not like a step up, but it's like a let's see what you got, you know?
Yeah.
One of those. All right. Let's go to the next one. Joe T.S. Writing Corner. Am I the only one who feels like the Canes were the more challenging opponent? I mean, it's tough to tell because we haven't even played a game yet, so you won't be able to tell until the series starts. But I think Florida is going to be, I mean, it's hard to say the toughest test, but I think as far as the compete level goes, like it's going to be, I don't think anyone's going to compete harder than Carolina. you know, Carolina competes their asses off. So I think the compete level is going to be the same in this series, but it's not going to be any easier than Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, one thing's for certain, right? Carolina had a better coach. So in the tight game,
Paul Maurice is a pretty damn good coach.
Totally. Maurice is a great coach, but I don't think he's as good as Brendan Moore. I just don't. I think Brendan Moore's top three coach in the league. And, you know, along with John Cooper and I don't know who I think the third is, but they're my top two. But anyways.
No shouts to Lobby, dude. Fucked.
I mean, Lobby's great, dude, but I need to see more than 1 year. If he wins the cup, he's number one forever. Don't care what anybody says. Come at me. All right. So anyways, what I was saying is, like, in these tight situation games, right, where it's one goal games, which many of these were, like, I don't know if we're going to see many of those against the Panthers. The Panthers are a high octane offense, and I think we're going to have to rise to the occasion and be a high octane offense. And these might be 5-2 games, 4-1 games, you know, 6-3, maybe 5-4, who knows? But I don't think we're going to see that many. But the important games that are very close, like, we're going to look to the coach to kind of get us there. And I think Carolina was in a better position to do that than the Panthers would be. And we got past that. So I do feel good going into this series. I just think, as Johnny said, right, with Panarin, like, we're going to need all our guys. Like, there were 3 or 4 games last series where Mika kind of went invisible a little bit, right? I think we can't have that this series. Like, I think we need Mika to ball out.
And well, I don't know if invisible is the best word.
No, he wasn't. Okay, you're right. I take it back. He wasn't invisible, but I would say there were definitely 3-4 unimpressive games. Fair?
But he was good. He was fine. I mean, the games where he wasn't
fine
impressive.
Is not what you want out of your number
but the
one
games
center,
where he wasn't impressive, the whole team wasn't impressive, I feel like.
Absolutely. But some of these, right? That first question was, are we going to have enough grit to beat the Panthers? To beat a gritty team, you got to get dirty, got to get edgy, and got to have ugly wins. And the only way we're having ugly wins in this series is if one or two of our stars in a bad game that the whole team doesn't look great score those grimy and dirty goals. Like, that's what we're going to need to beat the Panthers, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
Listen, they're a strong team. It's Eastern Conference Finals, so it's got to get done. It's got to get done from the top. Yeah, Panarin's got to be the guy.
You said Rangers in 4? That's wild.
No, I think I'm going to go. Oh, we'll do our preview, but yeah, Rangers.
Yeah, we'll 6. Finish with that. But let's do a couple more questions here. I know Cody's got to hop shortly. Next one from ERH Mattyard. Bob versus Igor. Anderson did not play up to expectation. Do we think Bob can outduel Igor?
Avery, you want to go?
Well, we talked to Sean McDonough about it a little bit, and he made some great points. I'll leave his answer to you guys to listen to. But I think that Igor is just the better overall goaltender. Bob has his moments. He's had his moments so far in the playoffs. But overall, game to game, I'm taking Igor. But Bob can steal a game, man. You got to get shots on net in this series. You can't go soft in periods. It has to be relentless shots on goal from every single angle, because he is just on par in terms of numbers with Igor. I like I said, consistency wise, if there's a guy I'd rather have in net, it's Igor. But don't overlook Bob.
Agreed.
All right, let's do 3 more. Is that cool?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This next one. Mike D92, will the amount of Ranger fans attending the games in Florida be a factor in this series? I think it's going to be like 7 home games for the Rangers if it goes 7. I mean, listen, Carolina is probably the toughest road environment in the Eastern Conference, and the Rangers went in there and won 2 out of 3. You know, I know they weren't convincing wins necessarily, but they're still tight games that they found a way to do it. You know, I don't think the Rangers are going to be afraid of any road environment in this series. Not that they were afraid last series, but it's not as big of a factor. And then on the flip side, though, Florida is a fucking damn good road team, so that's going to be different as well. Like, Florida does not, I think they've won 6 straight games at TD Garden against the Bruins in the playoffs. Like, they are not going to come in to MSG and be afraid. You know, this is a team that knows how to get fans out of the game, and I think on both sides there's no like clear-cut home ice advantage here. But you know, the Rangers on the road, I think, have more of an advantage than the Rangers did on the road in the last round.
That was perfectly said.
Thanks, dude.
Kind of think we should leave it at that.
All right. Ave?
Good job, Johnny.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Shane Bullen. You have to add a New York Ranger bottom six forward from the past decade. Who is it and who do they replace? What a fucking question that is.
Avery?
I'm thinking back, but was Brassard a bottom six?
No, definitely not.
Nah.
Yeah. My first thought was Brian Boyle.
I mean, if we're – okay.
My first thought was Brian Boyle. Fourth line center. Not that Gaudreau has been great, by the way. Not to replace Barclay Gaudreau, but like to have that big size that, you know, kind of not a bully, but, you know, Boiler was a fucking beast. Threw the body around, block shots, killed penalties, had some scoring touch. He'd be the perfect fourth line center right now. And our fourth line is who? Cooley, Gaudreau, and VZ. I'd maybe put in Boyle over Kako, to be honest.
Okay. Should I cheat the system and just say JT Miller?
Yeah, it's definitely cheating the system.
Okay.
Yeah. Although he probably was a bottom six player for the Rangers.
No, he was. He was our fourth line player in our cup run.
That's not really cheating the system. It's not cheating,
but I'll give another one. If we got to get dirty and if we got to get fucking mean and you know skate with these guys, I'm going with Daniel Carcillo. Let's get it.
Where are you putting them? Who are you taking out?
In whoever that last slot is right now, the exception is if Hedl is playing, then I need to rethink things. And we'd have to take out somebody on the fourth line. Like, I don't want to take out VC. He's playing pretty well. I would need to think about it. But if Hedl's a no-go, like even if Wheeler was healthy, like for this specific series, I'd throw him in there.
Mm-hmm. Dave? Yeah, I think I'd love a Jesper Foss. I thought he was great with the Rangers. Loved his game. But now that I'm thinking back on it, wasn't the Brassard, Zuccarello, Pouliot line the third line technically?
I thought Brassard played with Nash.
In 2014?
Didn't he play with Nash and Zuccarello?
I don't think so in 2014. I could be wrong.
I mean, I don't have the lineup memorized. So,
But regardless, I think I would say Jesper Foss, maybe even Dominic Moore. I love Don Moore's game, man.
Do you have the lineup? Don Moore was our second liner.
What?
I have it.
No, yep. Don Moore? Yep. No, he was not.
Oh, no. You're right.
Cody.
Okay. Our third line was Zouk, Brassard, Pouliot.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, really? Who was the second line? Oh, second, the first line was Stepan. He was the first.
Second line was Hags, Richards, and Marty. And then the first line was Cried, Step, Nash.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I know my shit.
When was Brassard, Zuccarello, Nash a line? Wasn't that a line at some point?
Maybe this was
later on.
I saw like eight guys, so that's why I got confused. That out. Fourth line was Don Moore, Boyle, Dorsett, Carcillo, JT, and Jesper Fast. Mm-hmm. So I could technically say Miller. I mean, Quickie would be a good one too. But yeah, all right, let's get to the last question because I really got
it. All right, last one, and we have like six people asking this, so we'll just make it a general one. X factor for the series, go one player. I guess we said who needs to step up, but this is different.
Yeah.
Okay. My X factor is going to be, because I think the goalies cancel themselves out. We could always say Igor's our guy, but it's going to be Adam Fox, man.
Oh, that's who I was going
to
say. You fucker.
Yeah, it's going to be Adam Fox. I just think he needs to be the guy. He needs to be Norris Trophy Adam Fox in order to get us to the next step.
That's fucked up. All right. I guess I'm going to go with Mika, because I think if there's one guy on a team who can physically take over a game and put a team outside of Chris Kreider and put a team on his back and just dominate, It's Mika, and we need him to do that.
I'm going to say the guy who was the X factor in the last series. Who do you think that was?
Trocheck.
Vincenzo.
I thought Lafreniere. 4 goals in 3 games. Okay. Scored some big 5-on-5 goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, love it. Those 4 goals are big. So I'll say Lafreniere has to come up big again at 5-on-5 in this round. All right. So just series predictions before we hop off here.
Start with you.
I gotta say Rangers in six.
I'm Rangers in seven. I think it's going seven.
I'm Rangers in seven.
Yeah. This one just feels like it's going seven.
Yeah, I don't want it to. I think that the Rangers Rangers get it done in six. But listen, as long as at this point, as long as they get it done, just get it done.
All right. Yeah. Well, with that, let's send it over to Sean McDonough. Hope you all enjoy the interview. This week on the Blue Crew, it is an absolute honor to welcome on our guest, someone that we haven't had on before, but someone that I think we can call a friend right now. You might know him from his play-by-play in every sport, including golf, including college sports, lacrosse, the U.S. Open. I mean, this man does everything, but as of now, he is the lead play-by-play broadcaster for NHL on ESPN. He's done a lot of great Ranger moments, and one that sticks out is the kid line growing up before our eyes. That's the one that sticks out to me. He'll be doing the entire Eastern Conference Final, and I can't give him the intro that the Empty Netters podcast gave because they're unbelievable at it, but we're going to try to do our best that we can. Welcome to the show, our new friend, Sean McDonough. Sean, how are you?
Hey, Johnny, doing well. Avery, good to see you. Obviously, I'm not a big enough deal for Cody, but we'll deal with that at another time.
And that's the perfect way to start because we actually, funny enough, Sean, after game three in Carolina, we did a communal podcast where we actually put the link out on Twitter and let our listeners join the show. And Cody fell asleep after the game. He's got a one-year-old son. He's a father, got a corporate job. So we had every single listener come on and kind of give him shit. So it kind of worked out perfectly that you came on and did the same.
I'll have to go back and find that somewhere on video. I'm sure that was first, to say the least.
It was a lot of fun. But just from the hockey perspective, we're going to jump into it right away. You're covering the Eastern Conference Final. It's a dream matchup for a lot of fans, especially for Avery and I. Avery actually lives in Miami full-time. He's home right now. So we're going to go back and forth from Florida to New York. But for the broadcasters, it might not be the dream because I know the MSG booth and the Amerant Bank Arena booth are a little bit higher. So is this not a dream for you? What's going on with the broadcast booth?
MSG is not bad. You know, it's five levels off the ice, right? I mean, the bridge that we're in, as they call it, is on 10. You take the elevator to 10. The arena level is on 5, as you guys know. So you're five stories above it. But it does hang out over the ice a little bit. The problem in a place like Florida is not only is it really high, but it angles back this way. So, Florida is not ideal. I actually sent Kenny Albert a text not too long ago just saying, hey, you know, last year in the final, did they build you, or even in the Eastern Conference final, because Turner had that as well, did they build you a lower booth? Because they used to do that for Doc Emrick, and there had been some talk that Turner was going to do it. And I was disappointed when he responded, no, there was no place to put it. So we will be in the high booth, I'm afraid, in Florida. Nobody cares, but, you know, it does make our job a lot harder. You know, I discovered why Doc Emrick used to use the phrase, and it did not go, because, you know, that's a great way of saying it didn't go in the net. I don't know why, because I'm on the moon as I'm trying to figure it out. He could have missed the net. It could have hit the post. It could have hit the goalie. It could have hit somebody up front. And I've gotten better now in year three here since we've been back of not guessing and, you know, kind of trying to cover the bases, even little things. You guys will appreciate this. So the audio guy, Buddha, is fantastic. I've worked with him for 100 years on all these different events that you mentioned, Johnny. And I don't like to get too much of the crowd noise in my headset because everybody I know in our business who's older is deaf as a stone, right? Because they've just been blasting their ears with all this noise for all these years. So I always ask Buddha, could you give me, you know, the skate sounds and the goal posts and everything, you know, really low. So all of a sudden you hear ping on the air. People at home would know the shot hit the post, but I didn't because I had him take that microphone out of my ear and I have headphones on. So then I was missing shots that hit the post. So I said, okay, Buddha, we're at MSG. Could you put the goal mics back in a little bit? Very early in the game, here comes a chance. I can't remember who the Rangers are playing, but Shesterkin slides over to the right post, ping. And I said, it hit the post. And then they show the replay and it missed the net by this much. I realized it was Shesterkin's skate that hit the post when he came over, you know, across from one side to the other. So sometimes, it's a no-win situation, no matter how hard you try to deal with it, but call the game. Nobody cares where we're sitting.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are hard on the broadcasters, but they don't know what goes into it. I did it in college. It's very difficult, especially with hockey. It's such a fast paced game. You actually started in hockey in 93, 94. And we've been talking about the 94 correlations, and now you here you are calling it again. Who knows? Maybe.
Never know. Yeah. We went away for a while. You know, it, and again, I don't want to belabor the point, but, you know, it's a much harder game to call than it was 17 years ago when ESPN was last in the NHL. You know, the game is so much faster and it's better. It's a lot better too, but, it's still fun, you know, and I guess it's one of the benefits too of having Ray down there is if I'm not sure what happened, he can figure it out. But for those who wonder why the announcers, not just me, but others, aren't always quite aware of what's happening, I always say to my buddies like here in Boston who go to the Bruins games, all right, buy the worst seat in the upper deck and then look further back and up. And that's where we are. As a matter of fact, I was at the Bruins game 6 the other night against Florida. I thought we were going to be in New York, might be in New York for a game 7 with Carolina. And then that didn't happen, obviously. So I was home here in Boston for a couple of extra days. So I took my nephews to the Bruins game. We had pretty good seats. And I went up to say hi to Brendan Burke between periods. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a reminder. You know, you'd almost rather say, can I just take my microphone to that seat I'm sitting in the stands down there? Because you actually see it a lot better than where Brendan was that night.
I can also feel some sympathy toward the goalpost sound that you were talking about before. I do color commentary for Nesson and Hockey East. And every time I go to Matthews Arena, I'm in the car for 4 hours going like this, picking out my ear, trying to get my sound back. So I can definitely feel your pain with that one. But, you know, something I want to...
A lot of nights you leave and you feel like you're at a rock concert, you know, which is great. I mean, you want it to be, you know, you want it to be loud and exciting. And we're going to have that in all these venues that, especially at MSG. But Florida's become a lively place over the last couple of years, too, with the success of the Panthers.
It's like a front row to Metallica concert for sure.
Have you been to a Golden Knights game?
Yeah, I was at the final last year. I did all 5 games for Vegas, Florida. That place.
If you're
was...
a season ticket holder for the Vegas Golden Knights, and you're not deaf. I don't know how that's possible. You must be wearing some sort of ear protection because you know they turn the PA up so loud even without the crowd. So yeah, it's you definitely leave there with ringing in your ears.
Well, I'm happy you said that too because. You know, Avery actually is the one who's been saying this for months now, that the Rangers are this team of destiny. And I think it started after that Stadium Series game, which you called, which was probably the loudest game I've ever been to. You know, you got 80,000 people doing the Rangers goal song. It was probably one of the, you know, most chills I've had run through my body. But since that game, and you've had so many incredible, I always associate you now with Mika Zibanejad. Like, I feel like every time you're on the call, Mika does something incredible, right? It just
he's got me in a lot of commercials and promos. You know, apparently, I scream his name with a lot of enthusiasm, apparently, because it seems to keep showing up.
In the corner, Lafreniere. Fox down low, they score! Mika Zibanejad!
It's every time. And just I wanted to get your opinion on this whole team of destiny vibe around this team. Since that game, you've done a lot of Ranger games this year. Have you felt it too? And you can admit it just a little bit if you have.
Well, you know, I think teams that sort of take that on are the ones that have a lot of dramatic come from behind wins, right? And the Rangers have done that. I think they set the franchise record this year for comeback wins. So when it keeps happening, you keep feeling like it is going to keep happening. You know, we had that here with the Red Sox in 2018, you know, when they wound up winning the World Series. And they... the whole season, they just found ridiculous ways to win, you know, whether it was a clutch hit or the other team made a ridiculous error or something. So teams do take that on. Yeah, I think the hard part now is, you know, no matter who you're playing the rest of the way, I mean, Florida's really good and they're really tough. They're going to be a tough out, you know, and then you get to the final, whoever you're going to have there is going to be tough too. So, but yeah, if you're a fan, there's been a lot of things that have happened in this season to make you believe that it could easily be a team of destiny. And I think the most important thing is they're really good at every facet of the game. And, you know, starting with the goalie, I think they have a terrific defense core. You know, obviously they have an abundance of forwards now, which will have to be sorted out as this series goes along. You know, they have a lot of guys who want to play and not enough spots for all of them. So to me, that'll be an interesting part of covering this series is, you know, if Wheeler can go and Hedl can go, do they play? Who comes out? And do they change that game to game depending on situations? You know, Peter had, as you guys know, Rempe kind of in on the home games and not in on the road. And I thought that was interesting, too, kind of managing the situation. So you know, there are a lot of interesting storylines within all of that.
Yeah, I pretty much coined them the team of destiny because it felt like in all the time that I've been alive, I've seen them go to the Stanley Cup in 2014. But even the 2014 team, it was heavily carried by Henrik Lundqvist, right? Like they didn't have this mega goal scorer like a Panera, and they didn't have that, right? So when I think back to 1994, I wasn't alive, but there were so many documentaries written about it. And my dad, grandpa, and uncle actually held up the sign, "Now I Can Die in Peace." It was a huge part of our family heritage. And
really?
And yes, when something like that happens and they write all these documentaries about it, there's always moments that you think back to, whether it's the Mato goal, whether it's the Messier game six. And it's starting to build in this season, right? Like you have a game where the Rangers don't play a good game at all, and Chris Kreider comes out in the third period and scores a natural hat trick. Like that's just something you'd expect to see in a documentary type thing. Like even that Stadium Series game, they play an outdoor game against their heated rivalry, the Islanders, in the regular season. They come back and win that. There's just so many moments that you could look back to this season and say, this is 100% a team of destiny.
Yeah, and that Panarin, that game was one of them. You know, you guys, I think, nailed it in terms of you're going to pick one that really stands out. It was that one, right? Because it wasn't going very well. And, you know, the Islanders did some things to help them get back in the game. And then the goal was so crazy. I mean, the net comes off and, but it counted. You know, I thought Dave Jackson proved his worth. I mean, he came on and immediately said, well, here's the rule and here's what happened. So it's going to be a goal. And it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's nice that your relatives got to see it, right? Because, you know, my dad died. He never saw the Red Sox win a World Series. You know, took me a long time to see them win a World Series. So when it finally does happen, you know, it's there's a great sense of joy and celebration and almost relief. But then you kind of wonder, like, does it change being a fan? Like when the Red Sox first won it, people were like, is it going to be different being a Red Sox fan? Now we can't be long suffering Red Sox fans. You know, they won. So I don't know if it'll change the fandom for you, Avery, if they win the Stanley Cup, but, and I'm glad to say, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay. And I'm glad Johnny mentioned that you're just home visiting. Cause if you were still in your
there, catching strays,
in the bedroom, it might be time to move out, but,
No. Sean, though, it's funny because Avery and I, so we actually hosted a watch party for game six of the Rangers Hurricane series, and Avery's dad was there, and when they were down 3-1, we were planning the sign for game seven. Would it say, please kill me now, if the Rangers blew a 3-0 lead?
You know, I was kind of disappointed there wasn't a game seven, only because, you know, that would have been ultimate drama. And one of our programming guys had already given me the opening line that I was going to use was welcome to the world's most anxious arena, which I think it would have been, which would have been a good way to start. But, you know, it's a great thing for us, obviously, to have the Rangers, you know, with the New York market and the great TV ratings and all the great storylines and the history and MSG. You know, it's great for us and great
that
for
hockey. That would have been perfect, though. That would have been.
Yeah, it would have been a good line. Yeah. It would have been true, right? It's that would have been an amazing night. But you know, part of this team of destiny thing, Freddie Anderson helped. But you know, as great as Kreider was and the comeback was, I mean, cover the puck at the post, right? I mean, it's not, you know, just cover the puck. And even the first goal the Rangers scored in that game, you know, in a series like that. You can't have your goalie give up that many soft goals. And I thought there were two in that game. The first one where he kind of couldn't get back on his feet. I thought Brian Boucher did a great job of kind of chronicling that. And then the one at the post, you know, it was, and, you know, Lafreniere's goal, it was that game three.
That was game four. Game four.
Game four. Yeah. They all run together. But, you know, and Panarin scored kind of a softy early in the series too. So, you know, When other teams are getting goaltending like you're getting from Igor and the Bruins are getting from Swayman, you know, your guy can't give up one or two of those because it's going to be the difference in the game.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's funny because my grandpa, he had to wait 54 years for the Rangers to win in 94, but he always talks about how that season there was just a feeling, right? Like no matter when the Rangers stepped on the ice, even if they were getting dominated in a game, it just felt like they were going to come back and win. And my whole lifetime, there were so many times where the Rangers would be up and I would just feel this feeling that, oh, like they're just going to blow it. But this year has been just so different. They haven't blown anything. They struggled in games, but they've always just found ways to stay in it. And now they were getting killed, and Chris Kreider comes out and he just puts a puck in the net that probably shouldn't go in, but it elevated them to the next level. And then now,
yeah, they are. And they really carried the play. I think they kind of knew, and it's probably what we've been talking about, right? When that happens, you start to think, okay, here we go again. This is going to happen. They're going to find a way to get it done. And ultimately they did. And I think that was big, you know, to get a little extra rest this time of the year. Everybody's so beat up and tired. And, you know, we did the Eastern Conference Final 2 years ago. And you guys remember it, I'm sure, more vividly than I do. But you could just see them hit the wall in that Tampa Bay series. I think they played 20 games in 40 days or something like that. And it just wasn't sustainable. So, you know, to win in four games and in six games and get some rest, I think is really important. And I think it helped the Panthers too to win in game six and not have to play in a game seven.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to tie it back to what Avery was saying and to what you were saying before about Avery's fandom. And sorry for speaking for you, Ave, but Avery had said if they had blown the 3-0 lead and lost in seven, he'd probably never be a fan again. And I think that's kind of understandable, though. We all felt that way. But I want to ask you, Sean, too, from that perspective, you watched the New York Yankees do it, right, with the Boston Red Sox. You know, you witnessed that 0-3 comeback. Would it have been a better story for, let's say, the broadcast had the Rangers blown the 3-0 lead and now it's Hurricanes, Panthers, or is it obviously better the way it ended out working out?
Yeah, I think it's fine either way. As I said, I was kind of rooting for game seven just because, you know, that would have been great. And I don't care who wins. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times people on social media think who wins, but we're really, yeah, and as I said, I'm happy the Rangers made it because I think it will have higher ratings than we would have had they not made it. Just that's the reality of, you know, what we do care about. And you just hope for exciting games, right? Memorable games that people are going to have enjoyed having watched. So, but it's, you know, that Yankee thing, especially the history. You know, I've told the story before. I think I told it on your buddy's Powers Empty podcast about, when they were Red Sox down 3-0 to the Yankees, I was sort of relieved because I had committed many, many months ago to go to my friend's wedding in Hawaii. And so I wasn't going to be there for the World Series when they won it. And so it was 3-0. I'm like, oh, no big deal now. At least I won't be agonizing about being at Mark and Christine's wedding in Maui. And we all know what happened. So I was, however many, 6,000 miles away when the Red Sox won the World Series for the first time in my lifetime. But they're your friends, right? It's more important than sports. I really say that out loud. No. You guys watched that podcast. You know, when I got there after like the 20-hour trip from Boston to Maui and got to the hotel, Christine was in the lobby, the bride, and she said, I can't believe you came. I told Mark to tell you it would be okay if you didn't come. It's like,
well, you're a good friend.
Good information to have 20 hours ago before I got on the plane. But no, I'm glad I was where I was, even though it was, you know, I wish I was there when the Red Sox won.
I'm curious, you know, often broadcasters are in movies, and I'm curious if your voice has been featured in like Fever Pitch. And I know you did the Winter Olympics in bobsledding in the 90s or Cool Runnings. And I couldn't find if it was or wasn't. I didn't go back and watch the movie.
I was in a movie called Mr. Baseball, just my voice.
Okay.
With Tom Selleck. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there have been other ones.
Do you get a check for that or no?
What's that?
You get a check for that?
Yes. Not much.
Like 89 cents every time it comes on?
Minimum scale was. I didn't even have to. I had to go to a studio in Boston and probably took 10 minutes. It was a dream sequence. He was a baseball player and I was like narrating his dream. But that's about it.
In 93-94, you obviously were doing the broadcasting at that time for the NHL, but then this long stint comes of no hockey with ESPN, right? And now you're back. This is the third season that you guys are back. What was it like coming back to hockey? Because you've done all these major sports and you've done the Olympics, but this is probably the most fast-paced sport out of all of them. What's the adjustment like, you know, going 17 years without being a hockey broadcaster to coming?
Yeah, it was a big one because I said, you know, I was used to, here comes the guy carrying the puck out of his own end. And you'd look down for a statistic or a note or something. You'd look up and the guy was still carrying the puck out of his own end or stuck in some sort of neutral zone trap where no one's going anywhere. And so, you know, I think the rule changes helped a lot. And, you know, I learned the hard way. You know, a couple times I looked down, looked back up. I don't know what happened. There was a penalty. What happened? The puck's in the net. How'd that happen? You know, it's, and you feel incredibly incompetent when stuff like that happens. So, you know, it took a little bit to realize, okay, don't look down. You know, when the puck's in play, keep your eyes on the ice. And, but it's fun. To me, that's what makes hockey fun, is the pace of it. And, you know, you can almost do kind of a radio style call on TV because, you know, the puck moves so quickly, different players have it in rapid succession that you need to identify. So I was thrilled when we got it back. I was always hoping that we would, never knowing if we would or would not. And then, you know, as soon as I found out we had it, I texted Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN. I don't know what his title is, but he's the chairman and CEO or president, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm at this stage of my life, I'm just going to go right to the top. You know, the worst thing they can do is just say no. So I texted him and he texted back saying, that's great to know. You know, I'm going to be involved in the decision, but there'd be other people, but I'll let everybody know you're interested. And so when it happened, I was really thrilled because, you know, I grew up with hockey being my first love. You know, when I was a kid, Bobby Orr was the man. He's still the man here in Boston, actually, for a lot of people, including me. But, you know, those are the good Bruins teams of the late 60s and early 1970s. Great Bruins team, some of them. And so that was always my first love and my favorite sport. And every kid on my block wanted to be Bobby Orr. And then, is you know, to your point, Johnny, about, you know, the first good opportunity I got out of college was at Nesson doing hockey East camp.
Yeah.
And that was a blast. And what's fun now is, like, now I'm doing games that the sons of guys who I did their games for are now playing, you know.
Well, Montgomery, Mike too,
Sullivan,
right?
Was playing at BU. David Quinn was playing at BU. David Quinn is one of my best friends all the way back to when he played at BU. And so, you know, that now I'm running into them as coaches or scouts or assistant coaches, but you're also, hey, that's my son, that's my nephew, who's now playing on some of these teams. So, but I love doing the college hockey. We had the Beanpot Hockey Tournament here, which is one of the great traditions in college hockey. And always loved doing that, particularly in the old garden where you were kind of right on top of the ice. You didn't have to worry about not being able to see the puck there because you were so close in the first row of the balcony, you could actually hear conversations on the ice when the players were talking to each other, or the officials were talking to the players, whatever. So, yeah, it's I love hockey. Really just kind of feel like now I'm getting back up to speed. You know, in year three, now you know the players, you know the coaches, you know how to get to the booth. It's little stuff like that you don't think about. But, you know, the first year, like, where's the booth? How do we get there? Where do we go to get into the building? You know, that sort of stuff. Now all of that's secondhand, and, you know, there's a rhythm and a flow to it, as you guys know, that just takes a while. And when we don't do a lot of games, I mean, the reality is, I think I did two games from the start of the year. We did Bedard's opening night, and I did one more game before the beginning of the year. So in October, November, December, then we start up with the Saturdays, but those are really just one a week. So you don't get a lot of reps until you get to this time of the year. And it's really only now for me where you kind of feel like you're in a flow.
And it's nonstop for you guys too. I know I'm really good friends with Emily Kaplan, and, you know, I know how her travel works, and, you know, every night she's in a different city. You know, next
she's
time
all over the place. She
doesn't have to come for a drink with us next time we go after.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
After a game.
She's a lot of fun. In addition to being really good at what she does.
Yeah, she's the best. And, you know, the whole crew, you, Ray, Emily, it's awesome that you guys are going to be a part of it. You know, this series is something obviously we're incredibly excited for. You know that from talking to us now for about 30 minutes. I want to ask you about Peter Laviolette, though, because you mentioned your Boston background. Peter Laviolette's also a Massachusetts guy. Do you guys have a lot of familiarity over the years?
He talks like he's from Canada. I don't know when that started. But
Who said he's from Canada?
No, he talks like he's from Canada. He speaks with a Canadian accent, which is definitely not how they speak in Franklin, Massachusetts. But I guess, you know, you've been around for hockey that long that you probably take to it.
It comes out a little bit, I guess. I'll have to notice that next time I talk to him. But do you have a previous relationship with him, maybe, or just like, you know?
Not really. No, I knew of him, obviously, you know, kind of knew of him. You know, back in the early 90s, he was on one of the Olympic teams. You know, Ted Drury, who's Chris Drury's brother, Ted's married to Liz Mercury Drury, whose dad, this is kind of a convoluted story, but not really, her dad, Ted Drury's father-in-law, was the president and general manager of Channel 38, Dan Mercury. He was one who hired me to do the Red Sox games when I was 25 years old. So I've always been very close to the Mercury family. Liz Mercury Drury is Jack Drury's mom, who's just, you know, played obviously for Carolina against the Rangers. So Ted and Peter Laviolette were on one of the Olympic teams. I think it was 94. It would have been in Lillehammer. So, you know, I knew of Peter then, you know, especially from Massachusetts. Ray Ferraro always teases me. If you're like Chris Kreider, I can't say enough nice things about him. He's from Massachusetts. He went to school in Massachusetts. You know, his relatives are still here. So you got a good chance of me saying something nice. So I've always kind of just been interested in Peter's career because he's from here.
Well, I've got something for
you.
Has
any guest ever put their video on hold and muted themselves? So I'm an allergy sufferer this time of the year, and I have the overwhelming desire to blow my big Irish.
Whatever
note.
You gotta do, we can
allowed to do that. Would that be history making?
We can edit it out.
I will be listening to your question with great eagerness as I mute myself.
Okay. I guess he's muted. Fair enough, Sean. We appreciate the courtesy of telling us. Also, we only have like a couple more too, so we don't want to keep you too long. But this one, you know, I'm planning for the right time to ask.
I will stay as long as you want, by the way.
Cody has a free 30 minutes to do the intro in about 30 so minutes from now. So we got to get Cody's.
You're turning this around, as they say in the biz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But kind of speaking about Peter Laviolette.
Is this better without Cody, by the way? Do you guys feel like this is a much better flow?
We actually purposely scheduled these interviews when he can't make it.
Exactly.
So it goes well.
Smart man.
I'm glad
Avery didn't have a tea time. Because I know he would.
No, not today. Probably tomorrow, but not today.
Loyal listener to the Blue Crew, Sean McDonough. Everyone knows that. I've been waiting for the right time to ask Laviolette this because I know he's very day by day. But, you know, speaking to Avery's this year feels like a documentary. Something you can maybe, you know, you guys can use it on the broadcast. But Peter Laviolette, to me, this story is starting to feel full circle for him, where, you know, he played Division III hockey, was an Olympic teammate of Brian Leetch, Mike Richter, you know, the guys that won it in 94. He played 12 games in the NHL only for the New York Rangers, coached the Hurricanes to a Stanley Cup, coached the Washington Capitals the last 3 years. He goes through those two teams. He's now with the team he played for, you know, looking to win a cup for the first time in 30 years. It's starting to feel like it's a full circle thing for him.
You guys are big into this destiny thing.
A little bit. We're kind of cheesy on this show. I know if I asked him, though, he wouldn't necessarily give that response you're kind of looking for right now.
No, 100% no. Our pregame meetings with him are very short. Not a lot of information. You know, you're not going to get a lot of information. So I don't sit there and try to like drag it out of people. If they, you know, and he's not the only coach, especially this time of the year. You know, there's a couple other coaches who we've dealt with the last 3 years who during the season, regular season, here are the lines. Our goalie's going to be that guy, blah, blah, blah. And they'll tell you some stuff. And then in the playoffs, that stops, which I think is silly, right? I mean, these teams prepare for each other, you know. Oh, Johnny Brodzinski. We didn't know anything about him. What are we going to do now? You know, how does he play? You know, I think that if no matter who's out there, they're going to have a pretty good read on what he's capable of doing.
Well, the Boston goaltending situation was the funniest, right? Like not announcing who's going to start till like an hour before or whatever. And Montgomery's kind of holding in his back pocket of if they're going with Swayman or Omar.
We had one coach last year throw us kind of a misdirection on who the goalie was going to be in our pregame meeting, which didn't sit very well, but
really?
Oh yeah. I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't no.
Involve the Rangers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. But not the Ranger coach. that should narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It is funny on this show. That is a funny moment. And I always like to ask, you know, whether we have a former player or broadcaster on, is there a moment, because we know how hockey players and coaches, they're so animated, right? And they always have these good character roles. And we even asked Don LaGreca this question. He told us one time John Tortorella pulled him into an office and he said that he fucking hates him, but but he respected his job. So was there any kind of moment that you can obviously tell on here that was funny that you always remember in the hockey aspect and world?
And those sorts of things, like coaches either upset with you or
that's just the route he went.
Even like a great interaction with a player that you can always remember and think about as something that you really enjoyed.
Yeah, you know, it's another reason why I want to get back into the hockey, because the hockey people are the best, right? I mean, it just as a community, they're the nicest, friendliest, most cooperative of all the major sports. And that hasn't changed in the 17 years that we were out of it. I'll tell you the thing last year, and it was, there was the Devils and the Rangers.
Yeah.
And Emily had been at the skate that morning, and Akira Schmidt was clearly going to enter the series. And it was out on Twitter and the whole thing. So we were meeting with Lindy Ruff before the game. And Ray said to him, hey, we know you're not going to talk about the goalie, because he was one of these who doesn't tell you. And that, as I said, that's fine. They can all do what they want. So he said, Akira Schmidt, if it happens to be him, what would you want us to know about? What should we know about Akira Schmidt? You know, like, what's the scouting? What's he good at? What do you like about him? Not like about, whatever you want to say. And he thought for a second. He said, I don't want to answer that because I don't want to steer you guys down the wrong path, which we took to mean, don't worry about Akira Schmidt. He's not playing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would have gone up and read another article or two about him. You know, our graphics people needed to learn. Well, he plays, right? So that one didn't sit so well with my occasionally short Irish temper. And Ray can be a little snappish from time to time, too. So, before the next game, you know, you're in the hallway and it's all the handshakes. Hey, how you doing? You know, so I just said to him, hey, before we do this, you know, I'm okay if people don't want to answer the questions, but you know, I kind of felt like we were intentionally misled. I said, because let me repeat what Ray asked and what you said, and then how did we get this wrong? And he was defensive at first, and then you know, he said he didn't mean to mislead us, and that's not what he meant and the whole thing. But so that was a contentious interaction. It was I don't want to say hostile, but it was tense for probably 4 or 5 minutes. The PR guy intervened, and you know, but we have a job to do, right? And my attitude on this is, first of all, if we ever violated anybody's confidence, a coach, a player, they tell us something in confidence, we go tell the other team, we're fired, right? And we should be. I mean, that's the ultimate violation. I would expect to be fired. I wouldn't do that. You know, I've never done that in my life. I've been told a lot of things in confidence by a lot of players and coaches. So first of all, we wouldn't do that. So whatever their fear is that we're going to do with the information, it would stay with our group. And we pay the NHL a lot of money. You know, these players and coaches are making a lot, in part because of the revenue they get from their broadcast partners. So I don't think to ask for 5 to 10 minutes of cooperation and honesty is a lot to ask. And we don't always get it, but it's okay. It's kind of part of the ritual, right? I mean, you go into it knowing some of these coaches are going to be great and tell you everything, and some of them are going to say nothing, and most are somewhere in between.
When it comes to that, I imagine this is going to be a fun one with Paul Maurice, right? Like, he's been unbelievable.
I didn't really know him much, you know, didn't really have an opinion from afar. And then he's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
And he's obviously very funny. And I just love that he's enjoying this, right? I mean, it's like he's blessed to do what he's doing for a living. You know, he's had an incredible career, and he's still only in his late 50s. And I'm just glad to see somebody enjoying a job that he should be enjoying. You know, a lot of these coaches treat it like they're going to the electric chair at 7 o'clock, you know, when the faceoff starts. And, you know, how many coaches would kill to coach one game in the NHL, never mind be in the Eastern Conference Finals? So, you know, I would love to see these coaches enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I get it. There's a ton of pressure. But at least now they're paid a ridiculous amount of money to deal with the pressure, unlike, you know, the old days when they weren't paid what they are now.
That makes me feel.
Yeah. And I'm not disparaging Lindy Ruff. I mean, it was, you know, the PR guy texted me 20 minutes later and said, hey, Lindy feels really bad. The game hadn't even started. You know, he wasn't mean to do that. You know, Lindy and I sort of had a triangular friendship because he was an assistant for David Quinn with the Rangers before he went for the Devils. And Quinny's one of my best friends. So, you know, both been talked about to each other. You know, I've heard a lot of great things about Lindy from Quinny. Lindy had heard nice things about me from Quinny and Quinny's wife. So, you know, it's I don't mean it to sound like it was some big deal, but it's, you know, you don't expect to be in the hallway 2 hours before the game wondering if this is going to accelerate into something that it really shouldn't be. And I, you know, if it did, I wouldn't like my chances against Lindy Ruff, to be quite honest. So not that it would ever get to that. But
he is a really sweet guy, I will say.
I like Lindy. I mean, well, before the next game, when he came out of the locker room, he came walking over to me, said, Kerry Quinn told me I need to give you a hug. And he gave me a hug.
See, that's the story I'm looking for. That's good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
that was a big detail you left out, Sean.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have, because Carrie, you know, Carrie's one of the greatest people I know. David Quinn is one of the great people I know. But you talk about overachiever in marriage, he would be high on that list.
So I mentioned it in the intro. You know, one line that sticks out is the kid line growing up before our eyes. You know, Ranger fans, I think, randomly throughout a day on a random Thursday morning, you'll see that shift posted on Twitter. Ranger fans are attached to that. But now it might be, you know, the game-winning Chris Kreider goal in Carolina. That could take over as the shift, apparently, amongst Ranger fans. But curious if you could redo one Ranger call that you've had in the last 3 years or, you know, one that you really...
There's probably several, you know, especially at the beginning, where, as I said, where you're, you know, you're guessing and you shouldn't be guessing the wrong guy. There's not one where I thought, wow, I completely botched that, but they're probably, you know, if there's one, it doesn't involve the Rangers, you'd like to do again. It was that weird goal that Colorado scored in the Stanley Cup final where it went up and it stuck underneath.
Yeah, the Kadri overtime goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't even know he scored. I mean, he's like smashing his stick over his knee. The goalie sort of knew it went in. The ref didn't know, you know, and I think it was Bo Byram.
Stamkos and Bo Byram were the only ones who saw it.
At, like, where the puck was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're like, I lived my whole life to call the Stanley Cup final. That's the game-winning goal. You know, it's like, but the good thing was that the skate the next morning, before the next game, you know, the radio guys for each team were there, the Canadian TV guys, you know, the national radio guys. And I walked up to every single play-by-play guy. I said, did you call that in real time? Did you know it was a goal? And every single one of them said, no, it was like the worst moment of my life. So I remember being really distraught after the game. And then Mike McQuaid, who runs our hockey coverage in ESPN, he's like, Sean, the guy who scored the goal didn't know it was in the net. So, I mean, he was a lot closer to it than you were. So don't worry about it. Nobody knew it was in the net. Like, so if there's one in 3 years that, but there have been several. Why? Is there a Ranger call that I should?
No. I think I didn't mean it as like a call that you didn't do well. I meant a,
so
I meant
okay. Like, if you want to say, hey, you really, we're friends now. So if you want to say, hey, you really botched that one.
No, I more so meant like,
as many games as I've done, you've botched a few, but you know, the kid thing was funny because like, I kind of got the feeling with the Ranger fans, and I don't do social media, but people do. And they tell you, oh, geez, you know, my sister who lives in New York City, by the way, and works at MSK and she's the best. She does have to do social media for a job. And she's like, a lot of hockey fans like you, but the Ranger fans really don't like you.
They're mean.
And I don't know, because of the Boston thing or whatever, but I'm like, why? You know, so that one, I think, softened them a little bit. And I think part of the problem is everybody likes watching their own announcers, right? Sam Rosen's one of the all-time greats in the history of what we do, you know, Hall of Famer, all-time, list all the great hockey play-by-play guys. He's on the list and you don't go very far down. Kenny's as good as anybody is in our business. They're both great guys. Don, you mentioned earlier, he's terrific. You know, and Joe Micheletti, you know, the rest of the group, all the analysts. So, you know, there's a really high standard of broadcasting that you guys are used to. So, you know, I get it, but, you know, I'm a nice guy. I don't dislike the Rangers, even with my Boston heritage. You know, it's, as I said, I think it's great that the Rangers are in the Eastern Conference Final because it's great for ESPN. And ultimately, that's where my foremost loyalty is. So we just hope we're really exciting games.
No, they're so mean. And Sean, I'm one of the biggest Rangers fans in the world, especially on the internet. All I do is talk about the Rangers. My life revolves around them. And I'm known as the positive guy, right? And no matter what happens, I always like to find a positive spin because it's a long season, right? And if I say something, one positive thing after a bad game, it's like, you suck. You know, you're so annoying, this and that.
Well,
and
you
I'm
are,
a
Avery.
And
you
I'm
are
a
annoying.
Rangers fan. Yeah, people think I'm annoying. But I'm,
Avery's
I'm
too,
a
he's
fan.
Too positive. He's too positive.
And I'm a Rangers fan. So when
there's
something
wrong
that,
with, well, social media is definitely not the place for you if you're just a positive.
Right, exactly.
One of the reasons I have steadfastly avoided it, because unless you want to know how much you suck, it's probably not the place that you want to go. So, I don't even have a Twitter app or whatever you call it. So, it's fine. People are entitled to their opinion. I tell friends of mine who are in our business, like I've worked with people who are analysts who I've worked with, who they'll search their name like during commercials.
Yeah.
And like, what do you expect? That it's going to be positive? You know, people, you know, and I had one buddy of mine say, I've never had people call me a douchebag so many times in my life. It's like, well, what do you expect? You know, don't go there. If you're looking for affirmation, that's not the place to go. And it's fine if people enjoy it and want to vent whatever they want to vent. But, you know, you just, the people in our business who pay attention to are the ones that I feel sorry for, because you're just going to make yourself miserable.
I'm glad you made that point, because I wanted to clear the air for you, because I know as a broadcaster, you're not biased in any way, but there are certain reasons why Rangers fans could feel like you had hard feelings against the team, but I never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to know, what would they be? Like, I've known Chris Drury since he was in high school. As I said, his brother-in-law is my friend, his sister-in-law is one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Liz Berkery Drury, I mentioned this, I think, during the Carolina, Jack's mom was one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. She's one of the great women's lacrosse players of all time. She's in the Harvard Athletic Hall of Fame and a tremendous athlete. But, you know, I have no, matter of fact, one of my, after Bobby Orr, my next favorite Bruin was Jean Rattel, you know, who is like better known for being a great Ranger, right? One of the nicest men I've ever met. So, I believe me, I harbor no negative feelings about the Rangers. It's great for ESPN that they're there. You know, do I wish they hadn't fired Quinny? Sure, of course. This will probably spur all kinds of negative comments now about me. I honestly believe if he had gotten the one more year, they added some of those gritty guys that they really needed. Shesterkin had the kind of season that he had in that first year for Gerard Gallant. They would have had the same success. He did a lot of he and Jeff Gordon, I think, are underappreciated. Jeff Gordon in particular. I mean, this Ranger team, you go up and down the lineup. You know, who's going to play in game one? How many of the 20 guys who are going to address or the 19 who are going to play are guys that Jeff Gordon brought in?
Yeah.
Right? 14? 15?
A lot.
I mean, well, there's Trocheck, which I think was a great, absolutely great signing. He's been one of the best players in the entire NHL this year. To me, he's one of the top 10 players in the league this year with everything that he's done. The guys at the deadline this year, but all the key guys were there, right? So, and, you know, and Quinny had to go through the growing pain. You know, what's the difference between Lafreniere now and Lafreniere 2 years ago? Well, a lot of that, or Keandre Miller, or all the guys that Quinny was told, we know they're 19, 20 years old. We don't care. We don't expect you to make the playoffs. Play them, let them get the experience, make them better players, blah, 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 all of which he did. So I know they didn't win enough for Ranger fans when Quinny was the coach, but to me,
he had a winning record.
He had a winning record. They didn't expect to make the playoffs. They even told them that. Like, this is not, they were gearing for the next year.
Yeah.
They know everything and all their meetings and conversations. And then he didn't get the next year. Right. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it's coaching in the NHL. If you're the coach for 15 minutes, you've lasted a long time. So, you know, look at Gerard Gallant. He came in, had 100 plus point seasons and was out.
Yeah. So New York's such a hard market, and it took a lot of balls for Jeff Gordon to come out and say, for after all these years of the Rangers going out and buying guys to essentially retool the team, to go into a full rebuild. The Rangers aren't known for doing that. So for him to go out and do that and say that and make that statement.
And look what happened now, right?
I mean,
look,
right.
Eastern Conference final 2 years out of three. And, you know, and the future is still pretty bright. And even, you know, I was thinking about Jeff Gordon the other day. I remember when Quinny was the coach, Chris Kreider's deal was up and he was a free agent. And there was a lot of debate about, oh, I'm not sure I'd give him that much money. And, you know, he's a nice player, but, and, you know, and look how his position in Ranger history has changed since they did sign up to the contract and everything he's done these last few years. You know, he's had the best years of his career, but, you know, Jeff was the one who made that decision. And I'm sure you guys remember it. There was a lot of debate. I don't know if you had your podcast back then, but you guys even debated back then on this podcast about, you know, should they move on or should they keep them? So that turned out to be an important decision too, as we all know.
And we probably 100%. Would have said they should move on and we would have looked like fucking idiots. He would have made us look stupid. That's for sure. Yeah. But Sean, just like away from hockey a little bit, you know, you're going to be here now for a week or so, then in Florida, You know, what are the things that you like to do in New York City on the off days? Because I know they don't come often. So how do you like to take your mind?
Yeah, they don't. You know, obviously there's a tremendous amount to do. See, my sister would be number one.
Yeah.
She's the person I know. She's up there at MSK trying to save lives. Nothing more important than being involved at the front line of the fight against cancer. And matter of fact, I just lost one of my dearest friends less than 4 weeks ago at 62 to cancer. Yeah, it's been hard. You know, like players, coaches, all of us, right? You're sitting there. Matter of fact, I was doing the game in Toronto. My buddy had died that morning. It hit him fast. I mean, he probably got diagnosed and died in 2 months. Great guy named Rick Miller is from Hartford, Connecticut, originally my golf buddy here in Boston. And matter of fact, good buddies of David Quinn, just to tie it back to Quinny again from golf. But so we had done 4 games in 4 days. You know, we did the afternoon game, the Sunday afternoon, the Rangers started the series against the Capitals. We were in Boston the next night. Then we were back to New York for game two. And then we went up to Toronto. And as I was getting on the plane at LaGuardia at 7 o'clock in the morning, after having done a Ranger game the night before, about to do our 4th game in 4 days, you're already tired. And, you know, day game travel is stressful. And going into Canada adds a layer to that. And Rick's wife, Jen, texted me that Rick had passed away at 12:04 a.m., so about 7 hours before. So Ray was sitting next to me on the plane. He had met Rick when I took him to Boston Golf Club. Rick played golf with us because he's a big hockey fan. So anyway, now we get to Toronto and I'm on the phone all day with Jen and other friends and trying to help make some arrangements. And I get to the game. See, first time in my life ever had a Celsius. I don't know if I'm allowed.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
I said to the stage manager, Ivan Sikorsky is fantastic. You might have met Ivan after one of these games with Emily. Mm-hmm. But said, you know, what should I do? So I had a Celsius.
I'll send you some. They're our number one sponsor at the company.
Are they really? Now I have it before every game.
Oh, yeah.
But I was sitting there in the booth and I'm exhausted, right? It's just been emotional. You cried all day and it's emotionally draining. And it's 4 games in 4 days in 4 different places and all the prep and everything that goes into it. And then an hour before the game, one of my buddies from Boston Golf, Sue Curtin, sent me a picture. And it was from Boston Golf Club. And it was a giant rainbow going right over the top of the place. And I said, is that now? Rick lived right across the street from the course. And they said, yeah. We're sitting here on the porch talking about Rick, laughing, crying. Wow. We can't believe we're in shock. And all of a sudden, there's a rainbow right over the top of the course. You know, and I'm like, and I got a jolt of electricity. Like, and again, we're talking about it earlier. Like, people don't care how far away you are from the rink or if you really can't see the action as well. They really don't. Just call the game. Don't make excuses. But, you know, they don't know that there's stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I almost couldn't pick my head up an hour before the game. I was so... But they still expect you to go on there and, you know, be Mr. Energy and get everything right. And but we're human beings like everybody else. But anyway, it's a very long-winded answer to your question. But I love to see my sister. I love to play golf, you know. And around New York City, obviously, there's some. I can never tell if it's Ridgewood or Ridgefield. It's Ridgewood, right?
Ridgewood. Yeah, that's a couple of towns Ridgewood. Over from me.
I took Ray out there last year. My friends, Nancy and Amory Slot, are members there. We went there on an off day, had a great time. So golf would be one of them. And then everybody has a million friends in New York. So, you know, if you try to see friends, get a workout in, make sure you rest. This part of the playoffs, even for the announcers, it's a grind, right? So, you know, hydrate, get enough sleep.
So hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell me. I'm around on Thursday. You know, there might be an off day.
All right. We'll take it with us. I didn't mean to flip you.
Yeah. Finger.
I'm still on the IL.
Forgot about that.
The longest finger injury in the history of life. But the pin comes out next Wednesday.
Like Happy Gilmore, the nail comes out next week?
Oh, yeah. This has been just 8.5 weeks. And I had a cast for 8 weeks before that, which didn't work. You and I talked about that off the air. But 6 o'clock in the morning after game 4 in Florida, I'm flying back here to Boston to go to Mass General to have them take the pin and the screw out. Thank God, finally. And hopefully my little boo-boo is finally here. But I have not played golf in several months, and it's driving me crazy.
Well, outside of golf, you should avoid Avery, or else you'll end up at Tau at night with the New York Giants. That won't help the rest.
There's a day I probably could have hung out in those spots, but I'm probably a little too old now to hang out there.
I was going
to
say, once you get the pin out and the Rangers make the Stanley Cup Finals during your off day, we'll play.
We'll go tee it, and we'll bring Ferraro. My only really important job for Ray is during the playoffs, I am his golf concierge. Like, I took him to Boston Golf, which is a top 75 American, took him to Ridgewood. I got us on to Old Chatham down in Raleigh a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, which is a great spot. I mean, we played some nice spots. We played out in Denver. Dave Jackson hooked us up out there. So we'll do it.
I'm in.
And Ray loves to play. And he's pretty solid. You want him as your partner. He's probably like a 7 handicap.
Love that.
One of those annoying people that every drive is straight down the middle and the ball goes straight up toward the green.
If you're doing pickleball, I'll be your guy. But golf, Avery can be your guy.
Yeah, I need to learn. My sister, Erin, my sainted sister at MSK, she signed up for pickleball lessons a few months ago, and she's addicted. Mm-hmm. We come out of MSG after these games, and it's 11 o'clock at night in that new fitness place, right, kind of in the alley where we go to our hotel. Those courts are loaded at 11 o'clock at night with people in there playing pickleball. So I was eager to learn. And then a friend of mine is a physical therapist. I mentioned it the other day, and he said, like, I see more people because of pickleball injuries.
Yeah. A lot of knee injuries.
Yeah. He said, there's something, it's a lot of bending and moving, and people aren't used to that, and they don't stretch enough, whatever.
Yeah, they're not stretching.
He said, I could almost do my entire practice now just on pickleball injuries. Mm-hmm.
And Sean, first of all, I just want to thank you so much for the time, but I have one more for you. And sure. I actually need Avery's permission for it, because Avery's a very superstitious guy.
Okay, go ahead. So
you teased the world's most anxious arena, which I still think is unbelievable. Can you tease
Eric Lowe is our programming guy, who I would have had to give credit for that.
Fair enough.
And a big Ranger fan, by the way. He does all of our hockey programming, ESPN's great, great guy. And a good golfer too, to speak of.
If it's okay with Avery, I would love for you to tease. And for the first time in 10 years, the New York Rangers are going to the Stanley Cup final. If you can give us one of those. Avery, do you approve?
I can approve. Yeah, especially if we play golf together, we're good. Mm-hmm. We're good.
And for the first time in 10 years, since Avery was 6 years old, the Rangers are going to the Stanley Cup final.
Imagine that on ESPN, Ava.
But I never – that's another thing. Like, to use as a broadcaster, you're going to call the big game, and one of these teams is going to advance to the Stanley Cup final. And there's, five teams left as we're talking now that have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And one of them is going to win. So do you kind of script what you're going to say at that big moment, or you just go with the moment and say whatever comes in your head?
I think there's always room for both. Mm-hmm. Depending on the play too, it's tough.
Think
right?
about it, but don't make it sound scripted.
Exactly. But like, there are moments where it's perfect, right? Like Kenny, you mentioned, he called the second Lightning Stanley Cup, and he said Lightning strikes twice. That was a great one.
Probably thought about that ahead of time, but
definitely
it
did.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Those are good if they don't sound scripted.
Mm-hmm. But like, I think it all. With the Rangers and the Panthers, it's something interesting too about these teams that are left. And I believe Arda actually tweeted it after Colorado was eliminated. None of the five teams that are left have won a Stanley Cup in this generation or in this decade, or what is it? The
century?
Millennium? Century? Yeah, I couldn't think of the word.
Millennium? Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, you were there, Johnny. You got it.
Yeah. Thanks for the save. I think that's something cool about, these teams that are left too. No one's done it since the year 2000. So,
yeah. We'll see. It'll be good. It's good when it gets spread around. They're great fan bases and, lively atmospheres everywhere we go. And
I'm sweating right now because I couldn't find out.
They build us a low booth.
I've always wanted to ask Howie Rose if he came up with and the Rangers have one more hill to climb, but it's Mount Vancouver. That was like, I don't know if that was spur of the moment. That's crazy.
It had to have been double overtime.
Yeah. Sometimes it is. Like sometimes, like we talk about the kid line growing up before you, I didn't think about that ahead of time. It just sort of.
That's good.
Comes into your head, and it's, not that it's rivals the examples that you mentioned, but sometimes in real time you think to yourself like, oh, that wasn't bad. That was actually pretty good. Most of the time it's just call it and get out of the way. Like when Pasternak scored the game 7 goal here a couple weeks ago, call the goal and stop talking, right? And just let people enjoy the pictures and the sounds. And it's when people keep going on and on and on, then it starts to feel to me like they just want to be attached to the moment when there's nothing you can say that's better than the pictures and sound. So that's what you hope for, right? A game seven, overtime, game-winning goal. Somebody wins the Stanley Cup. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. On the road, though, it's tougher when you got to fill the noise with the crowd, right? On the
well, that's the other thing. That's like sometimes we get accused of being biased, right? So Rangers Tampa Bay 2 years ago in the conference final. You know, have you been to Tampa Bay, the Amalie Arena?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
you take this freight elevator up, right? That takes a month. So you got to make sure you get there like 3 hours before the face-off to make sure you're in the booth by the time the game starts. So there's this gentleman who's there, you know, is the elevator operator. And nice guy. We've talked as the year's gone along on the way up and down. So I get on the elevator and he's kind of making a face at me. He said, I need to talk to you. So I said, you were a little too excited when the Rangers scored the other night. So I said, here's how this works. When the home team scores, you're going to yell louder because you're yelling over the crowd and you're yelling to hear yourself, you know, even with headphones on, it gets drowned out. And if you don't yell, you're not going to hear yourself. And we all want to hear ourselves. So I said, so you're in the elevator when the games are here, so you probably don't hear the way I yell when Tampa Bay scores a goal here, but believe me, I'm yelling just as loud. So, you know, I have this thing to talk about Twitter, but my spotter, Zach or Pat in college football, on the way home sometimes on Saturdays, because he lives here in Boston too. If we're flying back or if we go out for a couple drinks after the game, I'll say, okay, read me a couple of the nastiest, or funniest ones. Yeah. So we did Florida State Clemson last year, I think it was. And he starts laughing. I'm like, these must be really mean. He said, no. He said, I'm going to read you like six in a row. Sean McDonough is blatantly cheering for Florida State. Why does Sean McDonough hate Florida State? Sean McDonough is cheering for Clemson. Why does Sean McDonough hate Clemson? You know, it's like the same people watching the same game. So, you know.
At least it's consistent.
I can look right into this camera. I don't care. I really don't. You know, I'd like seven really exciting games with a big audience.
I think that'll be our social media clip. Just you saying into the camera, I don't care.
I really don't. Why wouldn't we want the Rangers to do well? Right? It's the biggest market. It's the, you know, it's to think that, you know, the network that carries the National Hockey League or any sport wouldn't want a New York team to do well. Is kind of silly if you think about it from factual. So
amen.
I think we're gonna have record ratings. I really do. The ratings have been way up all year anyway, you know, and I think this is just gonna be a continuation of it, in part because the Rangers are there. And it's a really compelling matchup. So it's gonna be awesome. Can't
wait. Rangers in seven?
Sure. You know, when I was on the Red Shirt Crew Panther podcast, I took Florida at seven. So,
yeah. Red Shirt Crew, that's good.
When I started out doing the World Series at CBS, they used to have me do all these radio talk shows, and I would change my pick. So half the time, I'll take the Toronto Blue Jays, and on the other half, I'd take, you know, the Atlanta Braves or whatever. Just so, you know, not that anybody's comparing notes, but to me. It's probably where I made a mistake. I picked Carolina to win the Stanley Cup before the year began, so I just didn't want to change my pick when the playoffs started. But it's a mistake if you pick the team that doesn't have the best goaltender. And I do think, you know, Bobrovsky, as we've seen, can be as good as anybody. But to me, he's not quite as consistent. You know, Igor's just – he's like machine-like in these playoffs. So and ever since the All-Star break, really. So I think that's the Ranger advantage. You know, can they deal with the – smothering physicality of Florida, I think will be the key. You know, that's they're really, really hard to play against. So it's going to be a great series. So many great storylines on both sides.
I want to tell you one story before we do let you go, and I do apologize again for holding you.
No, that's okay.
I always do this. Like, I always say one last question. I have four more.
You're saving me from doing my homework here.
Those are the charts?
There you go.
Those are some of the – yeah, those are the new ones that came today, updated stats, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Love the charts. Do them. I know they're a grind just doing them myself for color, but
yeah, they are a grind.
You mentioned the radio that you know,
and that's the other thing, right? Why prepare? Because you never have time to tell a story anyway.
No.
Right? That's the one thing I learned at the beginning. Like, you can't launch into a story that's more than one sentence long because
you get 7 seconds.
Something bad is going to happen. And you usually need to do it when the guy's standing behind his own net waiting for a line change or something. Then you're reasonably safe. So I don't know why we prepare all this stuff because it's never going to get in anyway, but it's good. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. That changes my whole thing. But I think the funniest thing, I forget which game it was. It might the first game that had ESPN back in the NHL, I think Wayne Gretzky was telling a story as a goal was scored. And it's like, do you tell Wayne Gretzky to stop talking? Like, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Were you on that call? Was that you?
Play-by-play guy should not be in the middle of his own story when the puck goes into that. You know, I can control when I deviate back to the action or when I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I told this story. You guys, I might have heard it on the Empty Netters podcast. I think I told it on their podcast. But when I started doing golf for CBS in the late 90s, at the Masters, Frank Trakanian is a legendary producer, director of golf, or he invented golf on TV, basically. He said, hey, we want you on here in part because you're a good storyteller. We want you to tell stories, but in golf, when we go to you, we never know if we're going to be on your hole for 5 seconds or for a minute. So learn how to tell a story that can end at the end of every sentence. Like, for example, I talked to Tiger Woods on the practice range and he's using a new putter. Okay, you can stop there. And the reason he's using a new putter is he wanted a longer putter because his back hurts or something. He doesn't want to have to bend over. So you could stop there too. And that's a great skill to learn. And so I have had to adapt that to hockey. Like we were talking about Jack Drury, you know, it's like, I know everything about Jack's whole life basically. But so you want to get in, you know, his mom was a great athlete and the whole thing, but you can't, if you do every tentacle and his uncle is Chris Drury, you're never going to get the whole thing in. So you gotta pick your spots. But I interrupt your question again?
No, honestly, you're so fine. I actually don't even want to
ask. I keep thinking that if this goes on long enough, Cody's going to show up.
And, I don't know. We could see if he's free right now. And he could come. He'll be, honestly, if he hopped in, he'd be like, so like distraught.
Flustered,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so flustered. He's the best though. And you guys should definitely meet and you'd love him.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, he's the best.
But now I feel like I interrupted your last question, and I apologize. No. So Emily and Ray are used to me interrupting them. Anyway,
no. You're good. Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if you know Bruce Boudreau at all, but when you talked about how you gave the radio stations different answers, like I talked to Bruce Boudreau about that moment in like 2011 when the Rangers fans chanted like, can you hear us, because of something he said on the radio. Like, he told me he went on local Washington, D.C. radio, and they asked him, who has better fans, the Rangers or the Capitals? What was he supposed to say?
Well, that's the other thing, right? Yeah. People take something. I made a comment about Jake Guentzel a year or two ago for Pittsburgh. And it was all like, you know, he's a 40 goal scorer. He's this, he's that, he's a great guy, he's a great line mate, he's a great Other than that, he's not good at anything. Like I said, everything
you said.
And this guy sent me the nastiest letter about how dare you disparage, you know, Jake Guentzel. I want to say, have you ever heard of sarcasm? Like at the end of this, you know, it's pretty clear. You know? So that's why I say, if you let stuff like that actually bother you, you know, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
That's funny though. That's actually really funny that someone got worked up like that.
And it was intended entirely as a compliment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, so I actually over the years have gone less and less to sarcasm because I understand now that some people just don't understand it and think that you're it's just hard when you're from the Northeast, right? Because we're all sarcastic by nature.
1,000%. Anything that you have before we let you go that you'd like to shout out?
No, I really enjoyed this. Appreciate you guys having me. And it's going to be so much fun. You know, this is when I knew when I was 5 years old, this is what I wanted to do for a living. This is what you're dreaming about when you do it. So hope it's a great series and hope to run into you guys in person somewhere along the way.
Well, I'll see you at game one and we can make an agreement that if the Rangers win this series, we'll get you back on and Cody can be a part of it.
No question. And we'll play golf because I think actually it'll be easier. I think in the Stanley Cup final, the travel, there's going to be two days in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 days. So
would love that.
That opens up the golf opportunity. And by then, I won't be the bionic man anymore.
There you go.
Well, Sean, actually, we really appreciate this.
Channel 5 in Boston a couple of weeks ago. Duke Castiglione's dad does the Red Sox games on the radio. He's on the ABC affiliate. They did a pregame before the Toronto game 7. So at the end, he went to shake my hand. I had the microphone. I'm so used to holding the microphone in this hand. The producer said to me a couple times, can't you hold the microphone in your left hand so it doesn't look like you're giving the audience the finger and the on camera at the beginning? But I've just, it doesn't, it's like playing golf left-handed, you know? So anyway, Duke went to shake my hand. I had was holding the microphone here, so I kind of gave him the lefty, and I said, I'm sorry I can't shake your hand. And I'm not flipping off your audience, but I have a pin and a screw in my finger, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
thank you so much. I'll deliver you popcorn in between the first and the second on Wednesday.
Yeah, come on up and say hi.
I got you. I'll be up there. I'm in the press box every game. So I'll see you.
Get out of your parents' house. Favorite bit of memorabilia back there. What's your favorite?
So this stick right here, this is the greatest story. I've had season tickets my entire life. We didn't do family vacations growing up. It was always just Rangers. Same section as they held up beside Now I Can Die in Peace. And Henrik Lundqvist was notorious for when he would have a big game, he would go out as the first star and throw his stick. And every time he would do it, he would either go straight out from the tunnel. The tunnel used to be different at MSG. It used to be in the center. Now it's off to the side. He would go out to the center, or he would do a quick turn and throw it there. And we're on the side where the Rangers shoot twice, a little bit closer to the gate where the opposing team comes out. And every time I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to get a stick. And I wait and I wait. And he has a shutout in his second season against the Avalanche. And he comes out and he literally turns straight towards me. He's staring directly at me. I'm kind of on the ledge, so I'm almost hanging over the glass at this point. And he throws it, but it goes completely over my head. I must be, 8 years old at this time. Goes completely over my head. I'm watching this thing like it's like a movie, like go over my head. And nobody other than my grandpa catches it. And he catches it, and he's wrestling with this big dude who also caught it. And he's like, it's for my grandson. Gets his stick, and, I've been offered money for it. It's priceless. It's never leaving this room, no matter what.
Good work, grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrestled a big dude for it.
Did the big dude let it go, or did it?
Yeah.
Did
this when he said it was for me, that yeah, he let it go.
He could point at you because you were right there.
Yeah, exactly. It was an amazing moment. But yeah, that's forever. My dad was always like, "Oh, get it signed, maybe sell it." You know, when he goes to the Hall of Fame, I'm like, "Nope, it's not signed."
How good is he on TV?
He's incredible. He's good at everything. Good. You know, yeah. And
a little annoying that way, probably, but
yeah, he's so good at everything. I want to see his documentary, though, that just came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sean. We really appreciate this. Have a great day. Some travels, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right, Sean. Have a good one.
Big thanks to Sean McDonough for hopping on the pod. We're already in a group chat with him. Avery is talking about golf and setting up a tee time, but what an awesome guy. I hope Ranger fans have different feelings toward him if you don't like him. Really sweet guy. And Avery, any thoughts?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone should hate him at all. I think that he does his job so well. He's worked in the industry. He knows what he's doing. And I can't wait to just spend more time and hang out with him. Yeah. He sounds like the coolest dude ever, not just on the mic, but out in regular, normal public people. I don't even know what I was about to say there. But you know what I meant.
We've been talking a lot.
We've been
on here for like 3 hours. but yeah, great interview with Sean. Really excited for, you know, the whole Eastern Conference final. It's going to be a blast, and we got two more sleeps till it happens.
Yep.
But you know, it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a nerve wracking one. You know, the first two rounds haven't really been that nerve wracking until, you know, that game 6. So we'll see what happens, but, I feel pretty confident going in.
Yeah. I think that it's team of destiny. Sean thought we were over.
We brought that up like 5 times.
Yeah, but how could you not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How could you not? Everything feels right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, send it off, and we'll talk to you guys after game 1.
All right. LFGR, baby. Let's go.